This time last year, how many of you had ever heard of Zoom? I'm guessing not many. I know I hadn't. But fast forward 12 months, and Zoom for most of us has become a part of our daily routine. The outbreak of COVID-19 has seen the number of global Zoom users multiply by over 30 times. By now, most of us are totally used to joining video calls. At the start, though, we always used to have to say that familiar phrase, "You're on mute, we can't hear you." But not that much anymore, because now we've become Zoom experts. As we begin 2021, we're all geared up, we're ready for any Zoom calls that come our way. We now know how it works, we understand all the different features, and we're quick to answer. But in this passage that we've come to consider tonight, 1 Samuel chapter 3, there's another kind of call described. It's not a Zoom call. This call is one that's not immediately understood. It's one which doesn't get the right response at the first time of asking. As we've read here, Samuel received a call from God, and at first, he's not ready for it. He's not familiar with that experience. We also see in this passage a God who wants to communicate with and speak to his people. A God who's not silent. A God who's not on mute, if you want to put it that way. Samuel's God and our God is a God who speaks. And verse 10 takes us to the key moment in this event. We read there, "And the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth." In this moment, the Lord appears before Samuel in a vision and speaks his name. And Samuel, hearing that call, responds. What we have in this verse is more than just details of a historical event. We have a picture of the call of God to his people. And so what this verse shows us in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 10, is very simple. What we want to look at tonight, it's how God calls. How God calls. That's an important subject for all Christians, but especially for young people. To be able to understand how God speaks to his people. To be able to identify it when it happens in your own life. The first aspect of how God calls is that it's a call delivered specifically to individual people. God's call is a personal call. If you look at verse 10, you'll see that the Lord came and stood, as he had done on previous occasions earlier in the chapter. And what does he say? Samuel, Samuel. The Lord called Samuel by name. He has a particular message to communicate to Samuel and to him alone. This is not an isolated incident. It's not different from the rest of Scripture. In fact, it's God's pattern to speak to particular people by name throughout biblical history. In Exodus 3, God calls from the burning bush, Moses, Moses. In Luke 19, Christ calls up the tree, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. Then in Acts 9, the risen Christ speaks on the Damascus road, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And in each example, the reality is that these people were being addressed by a God who knew them personally. Much more than just being able to use their names, he knew everything about them. If you have a Bible in front of you, John chapter 10 is a very relevant portion speaking to this issue. John 10 and verse 3, this entire passage really deals with the subject. It's speaking about Christ the shepherd. And in verse 3, we read these words, "To him," that is the shepherd, "the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out." In the same way, people in our culture, and perhaps you have a pet at home, people give names to their dogs. If you keep horses, perhaps you would give name to a horse. In Eastern culture, a shepherd would give name to his sheep so that they can call them, so that they can instruct them. And so too, Christ, as the good shepherd, knows the names of his people, and he calls them by name. He called you personally to salvation, if you're a Christian. If you're one of his chosen sheep, he called you by name to himself in order to be saved. And that's not the only time that God calls or speaks to his people. Christ calls his sheep. He leads his sheep continually. We mustn't think that we're called in conversion and then we can't expect to hear the leading voice of God ever again. He speaks personally to his people in conversion, and then again and again and again from that point on. What we're seeing here, though, in John chapter 10, is that our shepherd doesn't speak in a scattered way. He doesn't give a vague message that's just addressed to everyone. He doesn't put out information and then just wait to see who's listening. The shepherd addresses his people by name. He delivers a particular message that's intended for you and I personally. The same applies to this message which you're hearing today in this video. Clearly, I'm not speaking to a particular person. I'm not in the room with just one of you delivering this sermon. And I'm certainly not going to be calling anyone out by name in the course of this message. And yet, as you listen, not just to this message, but at other times, even as you read the scriptures for yourself, it can feel as though you're being spoken to personally. It can feel as though you're being called by name through the word of God as it's preached. I've had that experience myself. And it's nothing to do with the preacher, certainly nothing to do with his style of preaching. That speaking, moving voice which you hear is not the preacher's, but it's God's. It's the same God who spoke particularly to Moses, to Saul, and to Samuel in this passage before us. That God may be calling you today. In fact, he may have been speaking to you many times before, and you haven't realized it's him. That's what happened to Samuel. If you look back at 1 Samuel 3, the Lord calls him in verse 4, then again in verse 6, and again in verse 8. And all three times, Samuel doesn't correctly recognize who it is that's calling out to him. By the time Samuel responds to the Lord, it's the fourth time of asking. What changed between the third and the fourth time? Well, look at verse 8 and verse 9. At the end of verse 8, you see, and Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. What makes the difference on this fourth occasion? It's because Eli has made Samuel aware of who it is that's speaking to him. It's the Lord. Jehovah has a message for you. Sometimes we read something in God's word and we dismiss it as, well, not quite relevant to our circumstances. It's just a coincidence. We rationalize away the speaking voice of God, but he will not stop calling. He didn't with Samuel. When I was called to enter Bible college, I thought that way. It's just a coincidence. It's not really God speaking, but he calls again and again until we realize who is speaking. He calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. God's call is a personal call. God calls specifically to individual people, but also notice that God speaks to all kinds of people at all kinds of times. God's call is often an unexpected call. Verse 1 of the chapter shows us that Samuel was a young person. Verse 1, it says, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. It's suggested that Samuel was probably just 11 or 12 years old when these events took place. And yet, he gets a word from God, even at that young age. Remember some of the examples we mentioned earlier. Moses was a former Egyptian prince in exile when God spoke. Zacchaeus was a rich yet notorious sinner. And Saul was an enemy of Christ and chief persecutor of the church. And to all these different kinds of people, God spoke. When we think about Samuel's situation, it reminds me, and hopefully you too, that we should never underestimate the ability of children and young people to hear the voice of God. The Spirit of God does enable young people to hear and obey the Word of God. Young person listening today, don't think that reading God's Word, that praying for Him to speak to you, is something only for adults or for older Christians to do. There's no blueprint for the person who must listen for the voice of God. There's no template background. There's no select group of Christians who must listen for his voice. Not only the pastors and the missionaries and the church office bearers who need to pray for the guidance of God and look for the answer in his word. It's for every Christian, young and old, to walk and live by faith, to listen for God's voice, to wait for his guidance. Something else in the passage, in terms of how it's an unexpected call, is found in verse 3. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. We've seen that Samuel's an unexpected candidate because he's a young boy. But also, we see here, this is an unexpected time. This wasn't a church service. Samuel didn't need to be in a particular place at a particular time in the middle of a particular act of worship when God spoke. It was really at one of the most unexpected times. In the middle of the night, while he was trying to get to sleep, Samuel didn't need to work through all these unnecessary set of rituals to build up to this moment with hours of prayer and fasting and other preparations, and then and only then God would speak. No, the Lord did not confine himself to speak only at a particular time once Samuel had checked off all the necessary boxes. I need to balance that comment up. That is not to say that we avoid public worship. That is not to say that we approach prayer casually, thinking that, well, God will speak to us anyway. We don't need to pray. We don't need to read his word. What it means is that Christians must always be ready to hear the Lord speak, not just when we come into his house for a Sunday service. Solomon, when he had finished building the temple of God, realized this. He didn't think he'd successfully built a house for God to be confined within it. As he dedicated the temple, Solomon prayed with these words, "But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold the heaven, and the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house that I have builded?" God is not confined to the church building. He doesn't decide only to speak once we've got our Sunday clothes on and taken our seat in the pew. God can and will speak to you today. As you watch, as you listen to this video at home, he can answer prayer while you read his word in the quietness of your bedroom. The Spirit of God does not restrict himself to specific times and places. There's no box where his people ought to put him. Day or night, here or there, wherever you are, whoever you are, and whatever you're doing, God is there, and he will speak. Are you listening? Does that mean, an important question, does that mean that God will appear in front of you as you're going to try to fall asleep at night and speak audibly in your ear? No. The voice of God does not come to us in that way anymore. It's an important point. If we look at Hebrews chapter 1, if you have a Bible there, turn to it please, because there's a number of verses from Hebrews that we'll consider on this section. Hebrews 1, verse 1 reads as follows, "God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets." See, in that verse it refers to in time past. In time past. This is a reference to the Old Testament period, the period in which Samuel lived. And it says here that in those days, in that Old Testament period, God spoke by his prophets, by men like Samuel, who heard audibly the voice of God. But look at verse 2. It goes on. It says, "Hath, so God hath, in these last days, spoken unto us by his Son." There's a comparison there from the Old Testament time to, in verse 2, the last days. Now, this book of Hebrews was written after the death, resurrection, and ascension of Christ. So the last days refers to the time that we are living in right now. And the writer explains that in this period, today, God speaks through his Son, no longer by his prophets. But if Jesus is ascended, how does he speak to us today? How do we hear his voice? We'll look over at Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 7. If you open at that chapter in your Bible, we'll read verse 7. "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if ye will hear his voice," and so on and so forth. It continues down the chapter. But you'll notice if you look at that passage that there's a set of brackets that open in verse 7 and they close again in verse 11. And inside those brackets, you'll find a quote. It's taken from the Old Testament. It's taken from Psalm 95, a part of scripture that's written thousands of years before this book of Hebrews. The important point for us, though, is to look at how that quotation is introduced. What does the writer say? As the Holy Ghost saith. And then he goes on to give the quote. What he's saying is that what Scripture says in Psalm 95 is what the Holy Ghost says. Scripture is what the Holy Ghost says. And so the voice of God is written in the Scriptures. It's in the Bible. That is how God the Son speaks to us today, through his word in the Scriptures. The fact is summed up by chapter 4 of Hebrews, if you look at that, verse 12, Hebrews 4, verse 12. Just the first part of that verse says, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. So the writer sums up the point by showing that the word of God is quick. That word, it means alive. The word of God is living. How? Because it speaks. The word of God in the Scriptures speak. This is how God's voice is heard. This is how his call comes to you and to me. God's call is unexpected because it's not confined to a particular type of person or to a particular building or to a particular act of worship. But one thing we can expect is that it comes to us only as we read his word in Scripture and hear it preached. It is alive. That is how God calls. God's call is a personal call. It's an unexpected call, but also, thirdly, it is an answered call. Samuel doesn't just hear the voice of God and then say or do nothing. We see that he gives a response to the voice of God. Back in 1 Samuel 3 and the text verse 10, we read, Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. We pointed out already, that is what made the difference when the Lord called for the fourth time. Samuel knew this time who was speaking, and he was ready to give an answer. His response shows us that not always, but quite often, it's the one who is listening to whom God will speak. It's the one who's sensitive to his voice, the one who's waiting for his word. The Hebrew word translated here as heareth is a very common one in the Old Testament. You'll often see it translated elsewhere as understand or obey. So it's going beyond simply hearing the voice, but hearing with a level of understanding. When Samuel says, thy servant heareth, he's listening to the Lord intelligently. He hears with a heart of obedience. That's further proved by the fact that he encourages the Lord to continue speaking. He says, speak, go on. He wants to hear what the Lord will say. He's ready to hear what God has to say. Speak on. Rather than ignore the voice, rather than to ask for it to stop, Samuel wants to hear more. He wants to hear what God will reveal. And in the same way, when God speaks to you and to I, often it isn't out of the blue, without any interest at all on our part. Generally, he doesn't give guidance to those who aren't seeking it. He doesn't speak to those who aren't listening. He does not lead and guide those who don't bother to read his word. We've seen that already. That is how God speaks. If you're not ready to follow the guidance of God, well then don't expect him to give that guidance. If you'd rather not hear what God requires of you and what he plans to do, then we ought not to expect it to fall out of the sky onto our lap. He speaks to those who are ready to hear and obey. And those people are those who read the word prayerfully, waiting for his voice. Look also at the position Samuel takes in verse 10. He says, speak, for thy servant heareth. Thy servant. That's how Samuel describes himself. This is the position he's taken before the Lord. It's a position that shows that he understands his relationship to God. Also, it shows that he's ready to follow the voice of God. You see, a servant doesn't wait for the voice of his master and then decide whether or not to obey what he commands. He doesn't decide whether or not he believes what his master is saying. For us to think we have the freedom to take the word of God as nothing more than advice is to view ourselves in completely the wrong position. A servant receives commands from his master, not suggestions which he can take or leave. A servant doesn't put question marks over the word of his master. He believes every word is truth. A servant is what a Christian is. Often we forget that important fact. God is not your consultant. God's not your advisor. He is your master. His word is truth, and his commands are binding. 1 Corinthians 6 and 20 says, "For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." You're bought with a price. We belong to a master who has purchased us. A master who's paid the price to redeem us. We belong to Jesus, our Savior and Redeemer. I can't pass over that thought of being bought with a price without dwelling for a moment on that price and the one who paid it. Jesus Christ has purchased his people by the payment of their debt. And that debt is owed because of sin. That debt is owed because of God's broken law. The penalty for that sin, the price of that debt, is death. But at the cross, Jesus Christ settled it for his people with his own blood. That is what is meant by being bought with a price. That is why Jesus is the Christian's master. Those who trust Jesus Christ have had their debt settled. But those who do not have that debt still outstanding. As you listen today, where do you stand? What is the status of your debt? Is it settled or is it still outstanding? Have you felt the voice of God showing your sin? Have you heard him calling you to Jesus for forgiveness? Don't reject that call. Don't ignore that voice. It's the call of God to salvation. Answer that call. As we finish tonight, we've seen how God calls. God's call is a personal call. The shepherd knows his sheep and he calls them by name. He speaks to individuals. God's call is an unexpected call. He calls all kinds of people in all kinds of circumstances and at all kinds of times through his word. God's call is an answered call. He speaks to those who want to hear his voice, those who have taken the position of a servant, those who are prepared to obey. We must all bear these things in mind. We must all be able to identify the voice of God speaking to us in his word. Don't shrug your shoulders today and think that living by faith is not for you, something perhaps you will wait for whenever you get a little older. This word is for all his people, young and old. And you can't say any more that you don't know how God calls. The only question that remains is this: are you listening? Are you listening?